Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and these are Daniel Howitt's interviews with the stars for Kung Fu Panda 4, Jack Black, Awkwafina, and directors Mike Mitchell and Stephanie Mystine.
It is time to take the next step on your journey.
I'm not going to be the dragon warrior anymore.
You will advance to spiritual leader of the Valley of Peace.
Inner peace. Inner peace.
Keep your surf off my turf!
Dinner, please. Dinner with peas in a sesame soy glaze.
This is not working at all.
Tai Lung, big fan.
Once I possess the kung fu of every master villain, no one will
dare question my power.
Not even the great dragon warrior.
Who's that?
The most powerful shape-shifting sorceress, the chameleon.
How do I find this, the chameleon?
I'm gonna lead you right to her front door.
Jack, Awkwafina, how you guys doing today?
Good, how are you?
Oh, Jack, it's great to talk with you again. Awkwafina, chatting for the first time. So good to have you guys here. Kung Fu Panda 4 is so much fun, so I'm excited to hear more about the movie. Jack, I'll start with you. Not too many animated franchises extend into their fourth film. What's kept you coming back to Poe and to this world?
It's the love. I mean, I just, I really thought we were done after three, but it was one of the best phone calls I've ever gotten when my manager called and said, hey, they want to do another Kung Fu Panda. Are you kidding me? I was overjoyed. I was stoked to get back into this world. Love playing the character. And love the opportunity to continue the arc of this panda's life.
That's good. And Awkwafina, you're diving into the world for the first time. What's it like working with Jack again and developing the character of Shen for Kung Fu Panda 4?
I was so honored when I got the call because I'm a huge fan of the franchise and obviously very huge fan of Jack. And I think it was surreal to be in a movie where with characters that you know and love, and love working with this guy.
Well, you've both done so much voiceover work. How do you both push yourself and keep it fun as you're creating characters with just your voice?
Well, I always approach it the same way, whether it's voice work or stage work or film work. It's always the emotional life of the character. And I just have a ball. Look, I love to put on a show. Mm-hmm. Even today, me and Awkwafina have been doing interviews all day.
Yeah.
That's just a little mini show. And I guess I'm a ham. And doing voice work is no different. It's an opportunity to tell a story. I love it. I don't know what else to say. I guess I'm addicted to this this jam we call the theatrics.
Yeah, ADR. Yeah, I think it's I like being able to like play around with different things. That's why it's a deeply collaborative experience. And Mike and Stephanie, you know, guiding that provide a really like safe and open space for riffing and like adding your own spin. Every session was fun that I went to.
Yeah, I wanted to ask more about how you guys recorded. Were you able to record together at all? And how? Tell me more about how much space there was for improv and kind of making this your own along the way.
Well, we did collaborate once in the studio together. You don't usually do that typically because they need to isolate your vocals and stuff like that. But having that opportunity was great. But I understand why we need to be alone because I feel like I kept interrupting his takes because he wilds out in there, and it's hard to keep the chuckles from a chuckling.
I think they like to go isolation so that they can drill down on certain moments too. Mm-hmm. They want to make sure they get it exactly right. So you do, tons of takes on one specific section, and they don't want to have the other actor there waiting around to get through that one drill down. So it's more effective and efficient for them to do it that way. But we did have a ball on that one day that we did it, and we did make a promise if we ever do it again, we got to get some more of those collaborative sessions in, because there's certain sparks and magic that happens from that.
We want all 10 of us on one mic.
All the whole cast on one mic?
We are the world show.
Yeah, we all in the world.
All in a room.
Or an old-timey radio play. Do all the sound effects there, too.
Exactly.
I love it. Well, with Kung Fu Panda 4, Jack, like you said, you know, it kind of felt like Kung Fu Panda 3 was the end of things, but then we're back with Kung Fu Panda 4, and it finds Po in a pretty good place. He's happy, things are going well, but it's still time to move on and turn the next page in his life and pass the torch of the Dragon Warrior. So a question for both of you. Can you think of a time in your career where you felt a similar page turning? This is a page turning moment, or you had to give up some things in order to move to the next chapter of your career. Awkwafina, I'll start with you.
Wow. I think like when you start in this business, you definitely feel like sometimes you don't, like, it's really exciting, and I describe it like a roller coaster where you feel like, you know, it's going and it's exciting, it's exhilarating, but you don't really have any direction of where it's going. And I think that there comes a time where you want to be able to control how you feel about certain things, the momentum of it all. I think and just providing an environment for like the younger generations to come in that probably feel the way that you felt, you know.
I remember one time when in 1999, I got an offer to play a role in High Fidelity.
Mm.
That was like my big breakout role with John Cusack. And he loved Tenacious D, my band Tenacious D. And he said, oh, we got to have you in this movie. Stephen Frears is directing. He's one of my favorite directors. And we got this part that you're perfect for. And it was all about these guys that worked in a record store, a vinyl store, and they would just talk about rock and roll and music of all genres all day long. And I was nervous. I was like, ah, no, because I got my band Tenacious D and I'm really serious about it, and I want it to be like a real band. I don't know if I want to do a movie where I'm talking about music, because then it's like that might step on my actual music career that I'm trying to get going here. But then I was like, screw it. I can't be. I'm just afraid. I kind of not be afraid. I'm doing this thing. It's the best role I've ever been offered. So I took a, it seems dumb now that I almost passed, but at the time it was a big step for me to take a chance. And I'm really glad I did. And ever since then, I'm like, to really, really examine before I make big decisions out of fear, you know, and say, wait, am I just afraid that I'll fail? Because if that's the only reason, then I should go ahead and take the plunge.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Tenacious D is still going strong, even into Kung Fu Panda 4. Yes, so I have to ask about Baby One More Time. Come on, so good. Yeah. What's it been like for you and Kyle to let out your inner pop stars and cover Britney Spears?
I mean, it's a blast. It's really fun. And to have the song at the end of the credits, I almost can't believe it's real. And we went to the premiere on Sunday, and I was like, did they leave it in there? I'm staying till the very end, because I want to see if it made the credits.
Yeah,
and by God, they did. The whole version, the whole three-minute version, I was like, this is rocking. And I was headbanging hard and looking around. I'm like, is it just me, or does this slap? This thing is...
It's flat, dude. I did see you were on then. It was flat.
That is a legit jam that Britney cranked out all those years ago, and it was like an opportunity to rock it in our own style, and I'm really proud of it, and I hope she likes it too. I don't know. I haven't talked to her.
Yeah, and partnership is such a theme of Kung Fu Panda 4 too, and you've been partnering with Kyle for... what, near 30 years here? What, you know, tell me about what it's like to have a partner in Tenacious D for all these years.
Yeah, you know, that's the magic of that band really is our chemistry together, me and Kyle. And when we first started off, we were just getting high and playing guitar, acoustic guitars in his apartment and eating Jack in the Box. And, you know, we just had some dreams and just having fun and friendship. And I did feel like, you know, there's something here, because if we got up on stage, the two of us, this looks really ridiculous, the two of us. There's something so wrong about this band of the two of us that it's funny. It is funny. There's something funny. And we just kept on going until we had our first song. And I still remember our first concert. We played that first song. And I was, it's hard to explain. But anyone who's getting started that wants to have a band or wants to have a comedy band, I always say, well, you got to find yourself a Kyle. You got to, that's how our thing together is more than I could have done by myself. And it really was the thing that sparked my career, because from there came High Fidelity and et cetera. The rest is history.
Amazing. Well, we love Kung Fu Panda 4 and love you guys together. When are we getting the Jumanji sequel? What do you guys know? Is it coming? Is it happening?
I've heard nothing. Have you heard anything?
I have not heard.
Radio silence.
Radio silence.
I think Dwayne is busy with wrestling, but you'd never say never.
Okay, well, we're going to make it happen. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for chatting with me, and thank you for Kung Fu Panda 4.
Thanks, bro.
It was against an army.
Then we'll just have to get an army of our own.
What is this place?
The best crooks and criminals live here.
You're a wanted criminal?
You sound surprised. Is it surprising?
Now you kids be careful of those fireworks.
Silence makes our tummies tingle.
Why should we help you?
We can take down the chameleon together. Being the dragon warrior, it's who I am. Skadoosh. What do I know about being a spiritual leader?
What is it you're holding?
A cookie? Ah!
You were chosen to become something more than you already are.
How should we do this? Quick and painless? Yeah. Or slow and painful?
Slow and painful.
Finally met your match, Chameleon.
We're not so different, you and I.
Skadoosh.
Stand back. I'm gonna kick my butt.
Hi, Daniel.
Hi, how you guys doing today?
Great.
Awesome. Well, Kung Fu Panda is so much fun. So such a pleasure to chat with you guys. I appreciate your time. Look, there's so many things we love about Kung Fu Panda, and one of those is the action sequences. So I'd love to hear about how you guys approached the action in Kung Fu Panda 4 to keep the movie feeling fresh.
First thing we did that was unique to the previous three is we hired a team of stunt performers, and it was led by, what was the guy's name?
Led by Don Tai.
Don Tai and his team, and they put together tons of cool moves and specifically authentic moves, because Po got the Staff of Wisdom bestowed to him in the last film. So now he's got this staff that he uses in all of his battles. So they really helped us with that look. And in fact, the woman that played the fox, who performed all the stunts for the fox, was wore a big tail. She wore a tail for the animators to judge and look at as she moved and swooped around. And so that was something that we had tons of this great footage that we then gave to the animators. And then they added even more to the choreography of the fight. And then beyond that, a lot of our animators, and I call this like mixing old school with new school, they would actually hand draw a lot of the fight sequences, or at least the moves, before we even started animating them in CGI. And it was really inspirational, and everyone really got into that technique. And strangely enough, it helped us move faster to go back in time and hand animate. They had this loose, pencil sketchy quality to them that like really added to what I think was the final product of the fight.
I think it's really a testament to the story and the characters. If you really love the fight scenes, it was very important to us when we were talking to the choreographers about how each character behaved differently and how they grew up, what their worldviews were, and how that informed the way that they moved and the way that they fought and use Kung Fu. So for example, with the fox thief, Zhen, she's a scrappy fox who grew up on the streets as an orphan, and she, and the way that she fights is super dirty and super scrappy. But if you're entertained by that, if you're like, wow, that's you know, super epic, you know, with the villain fighting too, it's all due to having these amazing characters who were pitted against each other or fought with each other. Don't you know that you're
a grown up? I'm a grown-up.
Me too.
Yep, me too. But you know, these days, being a grown-up can really suck.
Luckily, we're grown-ups who grew up in the coolest generation.
We had video arcades.
And also some of the best TV and movies ever made.
We lived the origin of awesome consumer electronics. The list goes on and on.
Yep, Generation X.
Exactly.
And we're Gen X Grown-Up.
Every week, the Gen X Grown-Up podcast explores media, tech, toys, games, and more from both yesterday and today.
Through the eyes of Generation Xers who absolutely love that stuff. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or find us on our website, GenXGrownUp.com. Life sucks as a grown-up. All right, you think that was good enough?
I hope so, man. I'm tired.
Who listens to a promo on a podcast and then goes and listens to a different podcast?
Right.
I've never done it.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, Jen is such an amazing character, such a like great complicated partner for Poe. And so is the Chameleon, such a phenomenal villain. There are so many phenomenal new characters in this. But tell me about casting Awkwafina and Viola Davis and how you knew they were right for those two roles.
Well, Awkwafina, right away, we knew we wanted to work with her. She was a great voice. And we knew that if someone was going to be on this journey with Jack, who better than Awkwafina? One, they're already buddies to begin with, so that made our jobs a lot easier. And two, she's hilarious. It's hard to keep up with the great Jack Black, and she's like really funny. And then together, they're both, and I don't think people notice this from comedic actors, they're both terrific actors. They're really making like choices and getting to the emotion or the purpose of each scene. And so beyond hiring her, it was then just choosing what her animal was and designing it. And mm-hmm. from there, that was kind of interesting.
You know, and I just really appreciate how Mike always calls out that, that, you know, these two actors, being so well known for their comedy are also great actors, because I truly believe that like, you know, being funny is the hardest, like, to like have it's the rarest, you know, skill.
It is very hard to make someone laugh.
It's so hard to make someone laugh, but it's part of like you know, being very observant of other people and like noticing the absurdities and then commenting on it without being mean, you know, and there's that very light touch, and if you do it just right, then you can make so many people laugh, and we all see ourselves in so many of these absurd moments, you know. So like being able to make people laugh, it's not just like a haha, that's silly. It's a haha, like I'm learning stuff about myself too.
Yeah.
And what about Viola Davis? I mean, of course we know what a phenomenal actress she is. How did you know that she was the right choice for the Chameleon?
We didn't.
We heard her voice.
Yeah, actually, our problem was, could we design a character that fits, that would match how wonderful her voice is? Mm-hmm. Because we knew that she had the perfect, it was weird. We wanted this villain to be the it's the first female villain, first of all. And she's also got more supernatural powers than any previous villain. And also she's smarter than all the villains. So with Viola Davis's voice, the challenge was, oh my gosh, can we design a character that lives up to the gravitas of this performance and this voice? And I feel that we did it. And furthermore, the score really helped too. It's really rare when a character's voice and the design and then the villain score that Hans Zimmer made, like, man, it really all lined up perfectly for us. And Viola had that character almost instantaneously. Like we mm-hmm. planned one day just to play around with voices, and we didn't have to. She just had it right away. And there's an elegance to this character too that she brought to it, and a confidence. Mm-hmm. It was really cool. It turned out good. It was one of those, maybe it was just a happy accident that everything converged.
Yeah, I think it was also just like so awesome that she and her daughter are huge fans of the Kung Fu Panda franchise.
Yeah.
So, you know, she came in and she was like, oh my gosh, like this is a dream come true. And we felt the same way about her. So it was just awesome. It was an awesome experience.
That's amazing. Earlier on, you guys were telling me about kind of mixing the new school and the old school. You know, it's been 8 years since the last Kung Fu Panda and 16 years since the first one. Were there ways that you took advantage of new technology or new techniques in addition to the stunts in order to up the ante for Kung Fu Panda 4?
The Kanoa transformation was definitely your favorite, Mike.
Yeah, and it easier said than done, because I don't know if you noticed, but when she transforms like into like a snow leopard, she's not furry. She retains her creepy skin, her creepy chameleon skin. And so it's essentially a snow leopard built out of a chameleon hide, her flesh, her skin. And that was something that it wasn't as hard for Stephanie and I as it was for the effects people. Had to work day and night to figure out these techniques, and they actually came up with new tools. Did you know that? Like,
yeah,
we did that Q&A the other day. They created new tools that would actually paint scales on another character, and somehow, I don't know how they did it. That's how they accomplished it, but that was one of our cool things.
Yeah, technology is not my strong suit, but I definitely admire all of our technicians and our effects artists. Who worked on this movie, because they really rocked it.
They did so good.
Yeah, so awesome.
That's awesome. And Stephanie, this is your first feature film as a co-director. What was the biggest thing you learned from Kung Fu Panda 4 that you'll take into future projects?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think the biggest thing I learned was to take every single department as seriously as possible, the same way that Mike does. He goes into every single meeting fully prepared and knowing exactly the language that every department speaks. And he knows how to communicate with everyone so clearly that everyone gets to know right away. I think that's a very difficult skill to acquire, but that's definitely something that I look up to, and I want to take that away for myself to use in any future movies I may direct. It's just being able to communicate very clearly with every single person in every single department, whether it's cast or crew, about what the story is, what the theme is, all of that.
Amazing. Well, Mike, you've been around the block, directed many excellent films, not your first rodeo, but I do want to ask the same question. I know you learn something new on every project. So what did you learn on Kung Fu Panda 4 that will influence you on future projects?
Well, I learned that, even though I've done tons of franchises, man, did I learn that this one's beloved. And people are very sensitive. And I'm almost thankful that I didn't know this until the end of the project. People are very sensitive to their Kung Fu Panda characters, and they want them handled properly. They want to see them. They want to see them on the big screen doing everything that they want them to do. And they want every character serviced. That I don't think I was so hip to that at the beginning. And it's nothing that I ever dismissed. But I thought I did enough of my research, and I just didn't know. I didn't know the passion of the fans of Kung Fu Panda.
I mean, I didn't either, and I'm a huge fan of the Kung Fu Panda franchise. But it was just awesome, getting to work with the cast and crew who also grew up watching the films, and so we were constantly surrounded by people who could fact check us.
Yeah, that was very helpful. A lot of people were passionate, and strangely. Passionate in different areas, and there would be a lot of debates of people getting together and discussing, especially when it comes down to Kung Fu moves.
Oh, absolutely.
I remember the Tai Lung nerve strike, a lot of discussion about that one that I don't even want to get into right now.
He's one or two claws and did he only use it on like the heart or could he use it on different parts of the body?
Would it work again, considering in the first movie like Po had a way to deflect it?
Exactly.
Like a lot of intense, mostly kung fu battle.
I didn't know that it was possible to have hours of discussion about Tai Lung's nerve strike. But
yeah, I was like, save it for the comic book store, guys. Gee whiz.
That's amazing. Yeah, I definitely would not have expected that either. But either way, the movie turned out so good. And before I let you go, I have to ask about getting Tenacious D to do Baby One More Time for the end of this film. What a choice. Incredible choice. Tell me how that came to be.
Well, we knew we wanted the song to be violent. And we thought, what's the best violent song about, you know, because of kung fu? And it's like, Hit Me Baby. Wow, that's pretty aggressive. That's a great kung fu song. So Jack and Kyle just killed it. They did such a great version of the song. And the fun part about that is while they're still working on the song, Stephanie and I were doing the score in London. Mm-hmm. And so we sent the song. I think the current version of the song, they weren't even finished with it yet. We sent Hit Me Baby to Hans Zimmer and his 80-piece orchestra at Abbey Road. And they weaved in violins. Mm-hmm. And if you listen to it at the end of our film, they weave in the Kung Fu Panda score. And when we heard that, man, the hair stood up on the back of our necks. We're like, this is the most amazing, wonderful thing I've ever heard. And so you've got Jack Black. Mm-hmm. You've got Tenacious D. You've got Britney Spears and Hans Zimmer. Who knew that Hans Zimmer would work with Britney Spears? Yeah. All connecting on this song. It's pretty magic.
Well, only Poe could bring all of those things together. Mike and Stephanie, thank you again so much for the film, and thank you for your time today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much,
Daniel.
Thank
you. And thanks for helping people see this in the theater. It's so important. We work so hard to make these for the big screen, so thank you for getting people out of their homes and interested to see this in the theater. Thank you.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to Daniel Howitt's interviews with the stars from the new film Kung Fu Panda 4, Jack Black, Awkwafina, and the film's directors, Mike Mitchell and Stephanie Mustine. Kung Fu Panda 4 is now playing in theaters from Universal Pictures. You have been listening to the Next Best Picture podcast. We are proud to be part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, and you can subscribe to us anywhere where you subscribe to podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know what you think of the show. We really appreciate your feedback and your support, which you can also lend on over at Patreon. For $1 minimum a month, you'll get some exclusive podcast content from us. Thank you all so much for listening, as always, and we will see you all next time.
History is complicated. The story of human progress is long, messy, and riddled with controversies big and small. On Conflicted, we dive headfirst into history's most infamous events and contentious figures. We try and untangle the good from the bad, the fact from the fiction, and the monsters from the misunderstood. Was Genghis Khan a murderous butcher or a civic pioneer? Did the Allied powers go too far in firebombing the German city of Dresden at the twilight of World War II? And how did the Marquis de Sade acquire such a sinister reputation? And was any of it true? These are just a few of the tough questions we wrestle with and investigate on Conflicted. So if you love history or just enjoy a good story, please join me, your host, Zach Cornwell, for a fascinating new topic each and every month. Conflicted, a history podcast, is available on Spotify, Apple, or wherever else you get your podcasts. I hope to see you soon.